destiny is at your doorstep. The wave of the future originated in the ancient past. From Atlantis to Egypt and beyond, this sacred knowledge was passed in secret, not to be revealed until the world was ready. That time is now. Now is the time for you to know your destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and welcome one and all, to the Mr. Destiny radio show. Today is Monday, the 18th of February. We're still in Aquarius time, but moving rapidly into the Piscean time of the year. And the people born today and tomorrow are really late degrees of Aquarius, which, being the later degrees, you know, you may not be aware, but every sun sign is composed of 30 degrees. Once you get past 30, you're at the next sign. So, like, we have a system of 100, you know, 1 to 100, then you go into another 100. But in the sun signs, there's 12 signs, and each composes 30 degrees of, let's say, width. And you add those 12 together, you get 360 degrees, which is the 360 degrees of a circle. So here we are in the late degrees, like 28, 29 or so of Aquarius. And when you have planets that are in the later degrees of a sign, and you can look at your chart sometimes, you can get a chart done. Go to astro.com and type in your birth information, and you can actually get your whole chart. And you can look at every single planet in your chart. You can look at your sun, your moon, your Mercury, your Venus, your Mars, and it'll tell you, it'll say, Mercury is in this sign, let's say it's in Virgo, and it'll say it's 15 degrees, or it's 5 degrees, or it's 2 degrees, or it's 28 degrees, or whatever. So one little thing about astrology that might be fun for you to know is that when you have any planets, and that includes the sun, which isn't a planet, but we call them all planets just to, let's say, bodies of energy, whatever you want to call them, that is in the later degrees of the sign, like past 20, this means that you have a lot of experience in that area. You're very adept in that particular area, in that quality of that planet. And the opposite is also true, that if you have planets that are in really, like, low 10 degrees of a sign, especially, like, between 1 and like 7 degrees, okay? These planets are like baby planets. They're bursting out with energy in that sign, and they're expressing themselves really vividly and really often very dramatically, but they don't have the benefit of the wisdom, so they tend to make a lot of mistakes. So you'll find that people that are born, like, say, in the early degrees of the sign, like around the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, of the month, every month, these people are like the most intense versions of those signs. You'll see they're like intense about the way they are. At the same time, they make a lot of mistakes related to that sign. And the same thing will go with other planets that you have. So people born today is a well-accomplished Aquarian. And today happens to be a Seven of Diamonds and a King of Hearts day. And there you have that king. So you see this wealth of accomplishment comes from today's birthday. It's going to show up in the way they handle people. So people born today have an ability to handle other people. They, because of the King of Hearts. And Seven of Diamonds already, it sits in what we call the Venus line. So love is already very important for them. They have a Jack of Hearts in Venus. They're very prone to make sacrifices for those that they love. So then they have this King of Hearts as the ruling card. And so this person is going to be very strong-willed. So, you know, you could meet, let's say you're a guy and you meet a girl who's born today, and you say, she's Seven Diamonds, how sweet. But then you realize, oh, she's also a King of Hearts. Well, that king is going to be very strong-willed. And you better be ready to handle it. She may look beautiful. You know, kings, some kings are the most beautiful women, but what most men don't get when they first meet them is how strong they are. Some of these women are much more powerful than the men that they end up with. A good example is Angelina Jolie, who's the King of Diamonds, and she's with Brad Pitt, who's the King of Hearts. Well, they're both kings, and that's good, but it so happens that Brad Pitt's king is right behind her king, so she gets to be the real king, and he gets to be the kind of second-string king, if there was such a thing. So anyway, who do we know that was born today? Let me just take a quick look here. Got some celebrities that we might know. Matt Dillon. Oh, yeah. I could see that. Now, this King of Hearts also can make a man like a real playboy, you know. But they're going to be strong. Okay, Yoko Ono is born today. Think about that, okay? The strength that woman has. And then there's another woman here, Molly Ringwald. I don't really see her strength as much. Sybil Shepherd, I can see her strength. John Travolta, born today. Vanna White, born today. And the cartoonist, I don't know if you're familiar with Gahan Wilson's stuff. He used to do a lot of cartoons for Playboy, but they weren't sexual. They were just really strange. Very interesting. Jack Palance was born today. John Lee Malvo. Oh, that was the guy who was the sniper. The one that was a sniper in the D.C. area. They say Seven of Diamonds are strange, too. And they do fall in this category of doing some very strange things. It's because their values are so different than everybody else's. They're not really restrained by the usual value system that most of us are living under. They are seven, and they sit right in the center of the suit, halfway between the ace and the king. And because of that, they have one foot in the mundane, and they have one foot in the spiritual. And because they travel back and forth between those two ways of being, they sort of like feel like they're exempt to the rules of society to a certain degree. That's a common expression. Tonight we're going to have a little talk, and I have a new song that I've recorded. It sounds pretty similar to the other one, but you might enjoy hearing a new song that we'll do on the first break. And then at 7:30 here on the West Coast, or 10:30 on the East Coast, I'll be taking a break, maybe even before then, and we will open up the phones. We have four lines. It's in the email that was sent out. And you're welcome to call in anytime. You can get in line now if you want, if you don't mind holding, or you can just wait, I'd say, about 20 minutes and then call in. You can be one of the first ones to ask some questions. Please bring your questions. You know, I've done readings for a long time now. And anybody who does readings, you kind of learn as you go, and you kind of pick up things through the experiences that you have with different clients and situations. So every client is like an opportunity to learn something as well as an opportunity to give something to the client. And I'm always studying people, and I like to find out their birthdays, so I ask people their birthdays, people I don't even know. And usually they'll tell me. It's very rare somebody will say, well, I don't want to tell you what my birthday is. I mean, really, if they knew how much I can know from their birthday, they may have second thoughts about giving it to me. But as it is now, nobody really knows it. Just the birthday and the month and the day of the month can reveal so much. So they still open up and share that. One of my students from the past, who was really into the cards, she made some business cards for herself. And her little motto, she had a little motto in the front of the card, a little slogan. And it said, 52 cards will tell you the truth. And I thought that was really clever of her. That was a really cool idea to have. 52 cards will tell you the truth. And that expression just stuck in my head. And the more I think about it, you know, the more I think it is just so amazingly insightful and right on that she came up with this idea. Because I found that people will tell you all kinds of things. And you can look at events around you, and you can read a newspaper or watch the media and see people do things. But you really don't know what's really going on. You don't really know why people are doing what they're doing, or even what's really happening. Was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? But the cards will tell us. The cards will always tell us what is really happening. It's very, very interesting how that works. So, like, for example, let's say you read in the newspaper that some couple got married. Well, and they're smiling in the picture, and it looks all great. But is it great? Is it great for both people? Is it great for just one? Maybe one person was kind of forced into the marriage for one reason or another. Maybe the one person is getting married just for the money. You know, there's so many things that we do not know. But we look at a marriage, we see a couple in the paper, we see their picture, we think, oh, wow, they look so happy together. This is so wonderful, they're getting married. And the same thing goes for all the other news that we read in the paper. You know, we don't really know what's going on. I remember, and this is an old example, but I remember a long time ago when Nicole Simpson and Ron Goldman were murdered. I was living in L.A. at the time, and it was a big thing. You know, I mean, there was this big car chase with O.J. in this van or whatever, SUV. And I immediately, you know, got O.J.'s birthday and started looking to see what was in his car. So I wanted to see, like, well, this is a terrible thing. You know, what's in his car? That must be really like a big tragedy. But when I looked, what I found was I found cards of success. I found cards of a plan that had been well executed and carried out. And I saw symbols of force. I also saw signs of I need money. I need money, which means I need money perhaps to pay my attorneys. So immediately, I wasn't as experienced in the cards at the time. It really kind of had me wondering until it really started to make sense to me that the cards were showing me what was really going on and not what was being said necessarily about the situation. The same thing applies right now. Like, we have two big people running for president who are opposing each other. We have Hillary Clinton and we have Barack Obama. And we don't know what's in their hearts. I mean, we can judge. We can say, we can sort of assess, perhaps, by watching them. But we don't even know why they're running. Like, what's the desire there? Is it just a desire for fame? Is it a desire to make more money or to have power? Or is it a desire to sincerely serve and help other people? There's no way we can know that. But the cards can help us. The cards can tell us more about that. We can look. You know, I remember when George Bush Sr. lost to President Clinton, the year that he was running against President Clinton, and it was his second term, George Bush Sr. And I thought, man, this guy's going to win. I mean, he could easily win. But he came out, and he was so lackluster in his campaigning. I just felt like he didn't really care. He really wasn't pulling it on. And I noticed when I looked in the cards of Clinton and Bush, I noticed that they were both in what we call the pinnacle year. Well, the pinnacle year is this year when you have this great big change in your life. Now, everybody would naturally assume, we would all naturally assume that if George Bush Sr. is running for president for second term, that he really wants to win. But in fact, I really think he didn't really want to win because he'd already been there and he had reached his pinnacle year, the end of the line. And it was time to let it go, even though it was only one term. It was time for him to let it go. And I knew he was going to, he wouldn't win because of his cards. And I also noticed this, you know, kind of not really caring so much about winning. I could just tell in his performances, and lack of performance would be more the phrase. So if you use the cards, they will reveal secrets. This, and when we talk about secret, you know, this is a really good thing to mention. You know, we have this movie, The Secret. And I don't want to put the movie down because I think it really is a great movie. It's helped a lot of people. But it was, on another hand, if you look at it, it was a real big marketing thing. I mean, the whole name, The Secret, was just a marketing technique because there really was no secret there, really, that they were unveiling to anybody. It was just because we're all so curious, you know, we love secrets. We want to find out what secrets are. And we also had a sense that there is some kind of real secret knowledge, and there are secret societies, and there are some secret magical or mystical or, you know, things that we could learn. And so we're all intrigued by that. And somebody was very clever on the production team of this movie and decided to call it The Secret and market it as The Secret. And in doing so, they were very successful. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It was really kind of a little bit of a materialistic urge there. There was definitely some greed involved with some of the people involved. But overall, it did a lot of good work, and it was a good thing, and I really enjoyed it and got a lot out of watching it. I'm sure a lot of people listening tonight did, too. But what we really want to know is we really want to know those secrets. Well, what is the real secret? What's the secret that we're looking for? And what's the secret that the cards can really reveal? Well, the cards can help us see what we are really up to. They can help us see what other people are really up to. We can look and we can see. And these cards are so amazingly accurate. Like you can say, you could see two people walking down the street and they look like a really happy couple. And if you had their birthdays, you would know exactly what's going on in that relationship. You would know who's the boss, if there is a boss. And which one of people is the relationship more fun or more easy, and which one is it more difficult for? You would know actually the motives, why these two people are together, like what lessons they're learning together by being together. What each person in the relationship is learning from the relationship, from that experience of being with that person. And relationships are mirrors, you know, but the cards can tell us all this information, and you wouldn't even have to know these people. All you would need is their birthdays. And you wouldn't even need the year of their birth, unless you were trying to make some sort of prediction about the future. So this is what the real secret is that we have available to us, is the knowledge of the cards. And we can look, and we can look in the yearly spreads. You know, I remember when all the astronauts were killed in the space shuttle disaster, We immediately looked at all the cards of the people to see, well, what shows up for these guys, you know? And, of course, we were looking for so-called death cards. We were looking for cards of loss and tragedy and, you know, because this is what it was. It was a huge tragedy. But what we found was what we found the most of was a card that's not usually associated with death, and it's the Five of Spades. We found more occurrences among these astronauts of Five of Spades in prominent positions than any other card, and we didn't really find a lot of, like, traditional death cards. So what we learned from this was, and when I say we, I'm talking about me and the members of the Magi Fellowship. What we learned from this was that for them, this was a great adventure. This is what it was. It was an adventure. And I think that, I was thinking about this today, and I think these astronauts knew. And I think anybody who goes into space, who goes through the whole training program of being an astronaut, I mean, I've been watching a lot on TV lately about going to Mars and people on the space station, and it's not a comfortable experience to go up into space for any length of time. It's extremely uncomfortable and inconvenient in almost every way imaginable. For you or anybody to want to go into space, you have to have a burning desire to do it. It has to be coming from some deep urge for adventure. And so this is what the Five of Spades is all about. And I think that anybody who goes into space has already accepted the fact that they may not come back. There's a fairly good chance that going up into space will be fatal. We do not belong in space. We are not made for space. We don't have anything naturally to equip us for dealing with life in space. To be up there, we have to create an artificial environment. We have to create an environment for ourselves. We have to bring it with us. it's really interesting. And I love space. When I was a kid, I was totally into spaceships and, you know, Buck Rogers and everything space and all. And even to this day, I love science fiction films. But I've been watching these shows, and I see the reality of what space is. And going to a foreign planet, another planet, especially most of the planets in our solar system, none of them are hospitable. I mean, you just can't go to Mars or Venus and expect to, like, you know, roll down the window and breathe, take a deep breath. It's just not going to happen. So that's one reason, and that's why it's so expensive to go to these places, because you have to bring everything with you, not just, you know, food and water, but everything you're going to breathe and everything you need to keep from dying in the place of space. So these fives that these astronauts had, to me, I think they were already prepared to have died if they had to. And I don't think it came as a surprise to many of them that their shuttle broke apart. I mean, of course, they didn't want that to happen, naturally, but I just think that to have committed to going up there was to commit to this grand adventure wherever it might lead. So, you know, there is, when it really comes right down to it in the cards, there is no real death card. There is no real marriage card. There is no one card that guarantees marriage. There is no one card that guarantees anything, because the cards that show up in our spreads are really showing us what we are experiencing personally from what's going on around us. So it's very important to look at that. You know, like, you might have real success. A person like George Bush could have great super success cards in the year that he loses the election. Well, why is that? The reason would be because he didn't want to win. So this is the things that are really interesting. You know, when I look at celebrities and look at politicians and so forth, I'm not just looking at the cards and looking at them, what I see in the media. I'm trying to figure out, does this person really want what they say they want or what they seem to want? Are they really doing what they really want to do? So this is the fun part for me. I think this is the most fun, because this is really getting to the secrets about what's really going on. And this can help you and I also when we're dealing with people in our lives, you know, and just knowing. If we know somebody's birthday, we know a little bit about them. We know what's going on. We know what makes them tick. You know, like somebody born today is going to have a very strong family thing, and they're going to want to rule the family. They're going to be very strong, people born today. They're going to be strong about family because they believe in love and they want to make sacrifices, but they're also going to want it to be just their way. Wouldn't it be nice to know that before you got married or went into business with or whatever with the person born today? So these are the secrets that we have available to us. And in the card system, secrets are symbolized by the card, the Ace of Spades. Now, the Ace of Spades is also called the Death card. It's called the card of transformation. It has all kinds of meanings. And it is also the symbol for the secret order that kept this card knowledge alive for centuries, called the Order of the Magi. And it's really a symbol for all secret societies that maintain spiritual knowledge. And the Ace of Spades is really a symbol of an acorn. People try to make it like a spade, like a shovel, and I guess you can kind of make the connection with that, but that's not really what it is. It's actually an acorn. And when an acorn is a little seed, you don't know what's inside of it. It's the secret of what it is a mystery. And inside that seed is the DNA and the blueprint for something much bigger than the seed. So this is what we're looking for when we look at the secret. This is what the card system helps us to do. First, to learn our own secrets, to get to know ourselves, to get to know what our tendencies are, what's our karma in this lifetime, what's our good karma, what's our negative karma, what are we working on, what things are going to come easily to us. Everybody's got gifts. The cards can help you see that. What kind of career is best for? I was speaking to somebody today. Let's see, what was it? And their card, oh yes, this guy, this is a client of mine, he's a Two of Spades, birth card, and an Eight of Hearts ruling card. Well, his career is creating a network of support for children. So network of support is symbolized by the Two of Spades. That's the card of the brotherhood of man, the friendship card, the partnership card. And then Eight of Hearts means with the children. So in a way, his cards perfectly match his choice of career. And I've known other people of that same birthday who have expressed it in different ways. But he's taking it in a big way, and that's really a perfect example. So we can get to know ourselves through the cards, and then we can start to get to know the people around us, and we can start to look at the connections we have with them, which leads us back to more information about ourselves, helps us to see more about what are we really up to in our life. And then you may choose, like a lot of people do, to go out and sort of use this knowledge that you have to help other people understand themselves, understand what's going on in their life, understand their relationships and the choices they're making in their life. And tonight, after the break, when I do readings, I'll be using this knowledge and the accumulated knowledge that I have acquired from almost 20 years of doing readings with this system to serve everybody on the show tonight. I am a queen, and I'm here to serve. If you're a queen, you're all about service. If you're a queen like me, you probably have some Virgo in your chart, because Virgo is the sign of service, and I have Virgo rising. So, that's my talk for tonight. We're going to take a short break now, and we are going to play the new song on my CD. It's called Rama Rama, and I just want to mention something, because there's about four songs on the CD with there's Sita Ram, Sri Ram, and now we have Rama Rama. Ram is one of the incarnations of Vishnu, and the sound Ram is known to open the heart chakra. So if you were chanting a Ram chant, you know, whatever that melody would be, by chanting Ram, 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 and it kind of rolls off your tongue like a Spanish R, Ram, Ram, you would have an experience of your heart opening up. So this is what Ram is all about. It's about opening the heart. So I hope you enjoy this song. Now's the time to call in, and when we come back, we'll be talking to you and answering your questions. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. I hope you enjoyed that song. I really like it. I've been listening to it all week. Has a little different sound than the previous songs. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any feedback for that, give me an email. Let me know what you think. We have now two people waiting online, and we have lines open, folks, and now it's time to call. First, we'll be talking to Sandra from Oregon. Are you there, Sandra?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you, Sandra?
Oh, fine, thank you. Enjoy your show.
Well, thank you. And let me just make sure I have your birthday right. Is it July 19th, 1953?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. So what can I do for you this evening?
Okay. Well, I'm kind of wondering. I'm having a little bit of a struggle. I had been in an automobile accident 3 years ago. And I was sitting at a stoplight. Anyway, I was in an accident. And what I'm having a little bit of a struggle with is we've tried to do a settlement with the insurance, and I just want to settle this thing in a reasonable way, but I keep feel it's really difficult. It feels like that every time something's almost there, it feels like that that there's something sneaky going on behind the scenes, and I'm just getting really frustrated, and I don't know, you know, what I'm just kind of wondering, you know, what's going on here, because it just feels so difficult.
Well, you know, there can be lots of things with a situation like this. First of all, you have to look at the reality of it. Insurance companies do not want to pay anybody money because that's losing money in terms, according to them, that's losing money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, you always hear all these things about, well, people are always trying to rip off and, you know, be greedy and get a lot of money, and, you know, and they're just not even coming up with to cover the expense of what my husband and I have been out of pocket.
Yeah. I'm just saying that it is not in their interest to pay you any money at all.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
Okay. And
so you're
up against a company or an organization that, you know, they pride themselves in not making payments. You understand? So that's what you're up against. So they're your enemy. They're not your friend. They're your enemy. You understand?
Right.
And you're taking, I assume, some kind of legal recourse.
Right, yeah, but I didn't want to. I wanted to settle things in a reasonable way because I'm not really a very confrontational person like that. I mean, I would just, you know, I really kind of think that, you know, the appropriate measure should be done.
Well, maybe you're somebody who avoids conflict, but maybe you needed to, like, learn how to deal with conflict. You know, I'm not sure what the reason for you being involved in this is.
Uh-huh.
But you are involved in it, and it's something for you personally, you know.
Right. Well, I was just wondering if it was anything, if you saw anything in particular, you know, that looks like that maybe something would get resolved pretty soon, or
well,
to be honest, it
looks like it could be resolved by your birthday here coming up. There's an indication of that, a possibility, because you have a Ten of Diamonds result card, which can mean an inflow of money. Now, you're in the Saturn period right now, which began on February 13th, and it goes until April the 6th. And this is not the easiest time of the year for anybody, okay? This is your Saturn period every year. And things are usually a little tough in Saturn, but you have good cards. And you had good cards for legal things this year. Have you been active in the case? Have you taken some measures, some steps this year?
Yeah, actually, well, I thought that we actually had reached a settlement, but then it looked like we had, but then now at the last minute, it doesn't look like we have at all. You know, it just seems like that they just keep wanting to push more and more and more.
They might be hoping that you'll give up.
Yeah.
That's one of their strategies. That's one of their strategies, you know. I mean, if you watch TV a little bit, you get familiar with, you know, what some of the possible strategies are that companies like this will employ And one of them certainly is to try to wear you down to where you give up trying.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta remember that they don't want to give you any money.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So if you're gonna get the money out of them, you're gonna have to really work at it. They're gonna make it as hard as possible for you. They're not interested in paying you. What company is it, by the way?
I wonder if I should say this on. I'm not sure I should say it on radio or not.
Well, just consider you're telling me a good friend. Because I want to know who it is.
I don't know if I should say it, really. I don't know if I'm comfortable saying it.
All right. Well,
let's put it this way. It is definitely a well-known company, and they're not your neighbor. They're not your good neighbor.
Right. And they're out there right now probably advertising on TV saying, you know, they're there for you and all this stuff, and it is complete fallacy. Now, if you don't get this money by your birthday, with all these good cards that you have, I don't know when you would get it, to be frank, you know.
Okay.
You have good legal cards next year as well. I wouldn't give up. Personally, I wouldn't give up.
Okay. Well, that's good to know, because it does wear you down. And I've had a lot of, you know, some physical problems associated with this that I have to live with, and I just feel like that, you know, I just don't understand why they're just not wanting to do the right thing. I'm not asking for a huge settlement here. I just wanted something that was fair and reasonable. And it just
that's the key right there. You're thinking that they're interested in being fair and reasonable.
Right? That's a mistake, isn't it?
That's your mistake right there.
Yeah.
They have no interest in that. There's no money in that.
That's true.
The sooner you kind of get off the illusion. See, now you're a nine of clubs, so you really think everybody should be so nice like you are.
Well, I guess I need to wise up on this end, huh?
you need to get it.
Most people are very nice.
But there's friendship and there's business, and business is business, and people will use that as an excuse to do the most terrible things to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the mafia people, you know? Well, on the mafia movies and so forth, they kill people, but they say, it was just business, it wasn't personal.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't personal, but you killed me.
Yeah,
I'm dead now.
Well, I don't know. I've thought though that kind of business tactic in the long run gets companies back though.
Well, it can, especially today with the internet and stuff, because people do tell each other what happened to them, and the word gets around that way. But they're counting on that it's not going to get around, you see?
Yeah.
If it was me, I wouldn't have any problem, you know, mentioning the name, because I would tell everybody, like, I should tell everybody, for example, that I saved hundreds of dollars on my car insurance by switching away from Geico.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'm serious. I must have saved at least $300 to $400 a year by switching away from Geico. Geico has the highest rates of all the companies out there, and that whole slogan of theirs, you might save so many dollars and so forth by switching to Geico, is complete fallacy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I know. This has just been so, it's been very upsetting, because, you know, when you're actually going through physical problems and everything too, and then having to deal with them, you know. And they do act nice at first, but that's all just, you know, that's the way they act.
Acting nice could be just a stall tactic, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gotta understand. Just imagine that they're sitting there. They've figured it out. They've done statistical research. You know, they're all about statistics. Insurance companies. They don't do anything without statistics. They have people called actuaries who figure out how much they can afford. How much they have to charge for every single thing based on past statistical data. And they also have statistical data on how soon will a person give up trying.
Yeah.
If you stall them long enough.
The thing that got me about it, though, too, is that at my age, you know, at 54 years old, and I've never had any kind of a personal injury claim or anything, you know, it would seem to me that they would be able to tell that just on risk base that this is not someone who tries to rip off insurance companies.
You still don't get it.
I don't get it. But I also don't think that what they don't get and is that they also don't get that they're focusing on the claim side, but they're ignoring the revenue side of their business. Because like me also have to buy insurance.
Exactly. Well,
And you have to buy insurance, like you said about Geico.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would think that this kind of business tactic would really be very not healthy for them.
It may. And, you know, insurance companies aren't doing good, you know. They're like having problems with things like Katrina and so forth. So, you know, they have people in higher positions who dictate what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Just like any other company.
Helpful.
And their bottom line is make money. Don't lose money. Don't pay money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's helpful, though. I'm glad to know that I've got some good cards anyway.
Yeah, you got good cards. And, you know, next year, when you're 55, you're in the most blessed spot. So I think you're going to get it one way or the other. I hope you just don't get too stressed about this, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'll just recharge my battery here a little bit because sometimes it does kind of get you down a little bit. You know, you get a little tired of
Well, if you can do this without it being a drag on your energy, do it. But if it starts to drag you too much, it may be not worth it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I think, looking at what I see here, I think you can weather this out a little bit longer and see what happens.
Fantastic. All righty.
Thanks
well,
for
thank
calling.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
Have
you.
A nice evening.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you guys didn't mind my little mouthing off about insurance companies. You could probably tell I don't really like them too much. But actually, I have a good insurance company now. I really like the one I have. And I've had some good experiences with them as well. But I know so many people who haven't. Anyway, now we have waiting on line number 3, we have Karen from Arizona. Are you there, Karen?
Yes, I am.
And you are born May 3rd, 1943?
Correct.
Good. What can I do for you this evening?
Well, my question has to do with I have had several marriages and a lot of relationships, and 12 years ago I made a decision never to settle again, and I haven't had any relationship. I have had opportunities but have not taken them because I've just known that they weren't right for me.
Mm-hmm.
Took me a lot of years to kind of know what I want.
Sure.
And I was just wondering if you see any possibility of love and marriage, say, in the next year or in any of my future cards.
Well, if I had talked to you just after your birthday or just before your birthday this last year in May, I would have said this was going to be a great year for love for you.
Hmm.
Especially in the July and August. I would have said, wow, this is going to be wonderful.
No, nothing.
So if you didn't have it, Karen, you're actually keeping it away from you still.
No, there's nothing, no opportunity that I know of that I can even remember.
Well, I understand that, but I'm saying that I say you are pushing love away. You're still not ready yet, I don't think.
Hmm. And what do you see, like, after my next birthday or in the timing of 2008-09?
Let's take a look and see, actually. Well, there's a possibility for love right after your birthday, actually, right in that first period between May 3rd and June 24th.
Oh, really?
And there's another opportunity in August and September. There's almost every year there will be some opportunities.
Yeah,
but it's not. That is not as powerful, though, as your intention. See.
Uh huh.
See, now you know you've had a lot of relationships and so forth. Yeah. And, you know, if I just met you in the street and asked you what your birthday was and you told me you were born on May 3rd, I would say, you know, you should just have a lot of relationships.
Really?
Yeah, because you're a three of spades, and they just love romance. They're very romantic.
Yes, that's true.
They love sex.
That was my problem.
They love sex, and they love romance.
That was my problem.
But see, here's
why I had a lot of it.
Yeah, this is it. This is what I'm getting at, though.
But it makes for pain, though. I don't want that. I just would like a stable, you know, relationship.
Well,
I mean, I'm not at the point in life where I'd like to experiment, you know.
Well, you know, I hear you saying that you want a stable relationship, but is that really what you would be happy with and you would be satisfied with, see? Like, are you taking into consideration your basic nature when it comes to love? You know, the pain that you experienced and whatever pain you had in the past, there was other reasons for it. I don't think it was because, I don't know what exactly happened. But, you know, to just stop having relationships altogether seems a little drastic.
Well, they just haven't, like I said, I haven't met anybody that I'd really be interested in. You know, a few people. In fact, there was a person I did business with, but he was a married man. I never got involved with him because of that. And that really happened strongly in 2005 and 6.
Okay, yeah.
But
I think it's, overall, it's a good rule to not date married people. You know,
yes.
Overall. But I've seen people of your card who do that, too, quite successfully.
I've never done that. I don't plan on that one.
So let me ask you a question. If you could have like an ideal relationship, what would it look like? Like, what would you guys be married? Would you be living together? Would you sleep in the same bedroom? How would it look for you?
For me, married or not married at this point doesn't matter, but committed. Just a committed relationship.
In other words, you're monogamous with, okay.
Oh, absolutely.
What about living?
We'd be living together. We'd be committed for the rest of our lives together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you're gonna have more opportunities. There's no doubt about that. But
okay.
But if you have blinders on, you may not see them.
Uh huh.
You have to maybe lighten up a little bit.
Right.
Maybe you need to date a few people and not be so serious about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get the pump primed, you know.
Yes, if I could find, like I said, I was very attracted to this man that came into my life. I mean, you know, it was through a business, and we worked together for a year and a half very tightly, but obviously, you know, that couldn't go anywhere. So.
Yeah. Because he was married.
I wasn't going to get involved in something like that, you know.
Well, see, people who... Let me tell you a little secret, okay? This is something that might be a little shocking to you, but people that don't really want a full-time relationship will always be attracted to people that are unavailable.
Yeah, oh, no, I realize that.
Okay. So the last guy you were really attracted to was unavailable.
He was unavailable.
Yeah. So that tells me that you're unavailable. So you think about it, all right? Just give it
some thought. Yeah, I have thought about that.
Okay, well, think about it some more because, see, until you really get clear about this, you're going to be fighting with yourself. You're going to say, why don't I have the results I want? Not realizing that there's a greater part of you that is saying, no way am I having that.
Right. Don't you feel also that there is a destiny? I'm an astrologer. Don't you also feel that there is actually a destiny? There are some things that are absolutely destined in a person's life?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There are some things that are destined in a person's life because of the karma from a past life, you know, that we created for whatever reason. Sure, we have those events, but I think the greater part of our life is something that we have, especially when we're spiritually oriented, we have conscious control and responsibility about.
Right.
The greater part of it.
Right.
So, you know, we can talk about the destined part, but really I'm here to promote people taking action and being responsible for their lives.
Yes.
Less, more of that than, you know, oh, it's just going to happen because it's meant to happen to you kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
That's my particular event.
There is a Ten of Spades man that I spoke to the other night. Is that a good match for me?
What birthday is he?
He was 228.
So he's a Pisces?
Yes.
You mean a ten of clubs, you mean?
Ten of clubs. I'm sorry. What did I say?
Ten of spades.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, ten of clubs. Because
okay.
I looked. I have your book.
With ten of clubs, you have a very strong past life passion connection.
Oh.
It's the most satisfying connection there is for sex.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the past life Mars connection. It's like an unfulfilled desire from a former lifetime that seeks to be fulfilled in this lifetime. And so it creates a very strong attraction sometimes. You know, I mean, not every single person you meet at that birthday you'll have that with, but that's the potential.
Yes. Well, I haven't met him, actually. I just spoke on the phone with him.
Yeah.
I haven't heard back or anything.
I would lighten up a little bit and make yourself available just to date and not like, of course, I mean, I think it's okay to have some boundaries like no married people.
Yeah. Right.
But, I mean, only because it can't go anywhere.
That's right.
But I still have a question about you because, you know, the things you've said, and I've done thousands of readings. I still lump you in the category of unavailable yourself at this point.
You really do?
I do, yes. Because you're not dating anybody who's available, and you're only interested in unavailable guys.
Well, that was only one experience. That is not a recurring experience in my life.
Well, it was the last experience, right?
That was the last one. Yeah, I mean, it was
most
interesting
recent.
Because he came to me. He came to me and we did business. He didn't even know who I was. And it was sort of like out of the blue, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of an unusual experience for me.
You know, there's a lot of people in life that we'll meet and, you know, you can just meet somebody out of the blue and all of a sudden you feel a really strange attraction to them. And you don't know why and, it feels
well, he
nice.
Was the Seven of Diamonds. Seven of Diamonds is what he was.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it feels good to have this connection with somebody. And you don't know what it was. And those are the kind that we like. But if a person's really interested in really getting married and having a long-term commitment relationship, they won't even waste one iota of thought on a person like that. They won't even let their desire or fantasy or whatever go there with that person because they know what they want.
Right.
They're really clear they want a relationship, and they just say no to everybody else who's not ready to do that with them. See?
Well, that's why I said no to it. Yeah. There was an attraction, but I didn't, nothing ever occurred.
Let's see what you can do. This is about what you can do now. We'll see what you end up doing in the next few months, okay?
Okay.
After your birthday. And we'd love to hear back from you and hear what's going on.
All right. I will. I'll call you back if something. You said the first period after my birthday.
Well, after your birthday, you could have a little one-night stand if you want.
Oh, please.
I think you need it. I think it would be good for you. Stop fighting. You got your requirements way too high.
They are high. Why not?
They're way too high. What do you got, Venus?
Okay.
Lighten up a little
bit.
Well,
thank you very much.
The right guy will come along when you're not expecting him, but you gotta get past this being so closed down about the whole thing, you know? Lighten up a little bit.
You really picked that up, huh?
Yeah.
That I'm closed down.
Yeah, on some level, you're like, you got too high requirements. You know, you're making it too big of a thing. You're making it like a huge drama, like if it's not just the perfect person. You gotta get out there and date some people. Have some friends. I'm sure you have friends, but have guys that are friends too, you know.
Most of the time guys don't want to be friends.
Not if we're attracted to you.
That's right. I have one guy friend, one guy spiritual friend. He's never been married. He's perfect.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, Becky, or Karen, sorry. Thank you for calling tonight.
Yes.
And give us
Thank
a call back
much,
after
Robert.
Your
I'll
birthday.
Let you know what happens.
I'll be looking forward to hearing from you.
Bye now.
All right, bye-bye. Oh, that was fun. Let's see here. We have Becky on line 4 from Portland. Are you there, Becky?
Robert?
Hello?
Oh, you can't hear me, huh?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Your phone's not the highest quality phone I've ever heard.
No, it's definitely not that. Hang on a sec. Maybe I'll do this. How's that? Is that any better?
That is a little better, actually.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I can just barely hear you.
Really? Well, Seth, who's in charge of the control panel thing here, he hears us talking and he makes adjustments as we're talking. So it might start to sound better after we talk.
Oh, yeah, hopefully. That would be good.
So are you born February 6, 1953?
That's right.
Good. So what can I do for you this evening?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for doing for doing all this work and writing the books and putting all that information out there for us. And it's a treat to get to talk to you. This is great. I've been working with the cards on my own. This system, your system, Love Destiny, for about 7 years. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'm sort of
married to it in a way, you know.
A lot of people, yeah, it becomes that. Like I'm pretty married to it, of course, but. Comes like a companion.
Man, I wish I could hear you better.
Oh. Well, maybe Seth will pick up on us talking and turn me up a little bit or something. Or maybe it's just your phone. I don't know.
I have it on maximum right now.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Go ahead with what you were saying. I'm just going to walk away from...
Well, why don't you go ahead and ask me what your question is?
My question is about what you were talking in the program earlier about, you know, the death cards. And, you know, of course, we all get stuck on that whole idea of death. But I've been working with this system for a long time, so I'm not usually too concerned when I see them coming up. But I have Nine of Spades direct coming up with... coming up in my Mars shortly. And Nine of Spades is my first karma card, so I just thought I'd, you know, ask you what you think about it.
Sure, I mean you also have an Ace of Spades direct in your ruling cards for it.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a double whammy there.
Well, there's a couple of things here to consider. First of all, this is your Mars period that we're talking about.
Right.
And with those cards present, it's a good idea to not push things too hard in your life. Like, are you involved in any legal matters right now?
No, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Well, if you see the opportunities coming up to get involved in a legal situation, you want to say no to that.
Uh-huh.
Until
or
after.
Clean up my karma so that, you know, so that that sort of thing doesn't happen.
Yeah, you don't want to push that with the cards that you have because they're so strongly negative for that particular activity.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just common sense, you know. I mean, that's just playing your cards right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. I already was thinking about, you know, taking the bull by the horns and doing something on the legal end of things that I've been needing to do for a long time. So.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
I was already thinking about that, first of all.
Okay.
I don't, you know, my experience with my Mars period has always been, except for 1 year when I had Seven of Spades direct in Mars, it's always been incredibly positive, really. Even when the rest of my year, even Jupiter, even when the rest of the year was, you know, in the toilet, Mars was always good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand that. I sort of have the same karma. And who knows, but this will be, whatever happens for you this year, it'll be highly educational for you.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
You're going to learn something new, and you're obviously very consciously approaching this thing, and you're taking steps to try to get the best quality of experience from this period. So I think you're in a very good position to have something good happen to you.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, I mean, it's the way you're approaching it that really makes a difference, you see.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
So I think you're doing good. And those cards can be scary, and I would be careful, like anything that could lead to violence, you know, you want to avoid.
That could lead to violence?
Yeah.
What's a good example of that?
Well, you know, if I was driving a car, I'd be careful while I drive a car.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'd be more careful because of those influences present.
Right. Yeah.
I would be extra specially careful.
Uh-huh.
And I would not get involved in a legal thing that would have to take place during that period or any competitive activity. Just as a rule of thumb, but at the same time, you know, you have an ace of clubs with the nine of spades, and you have an ace of spades, and that can mean the beginning of a new job.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, my result card from last year is ace of diamonds, so new things are already starting to open up. Hopefully, they are. So, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. On the job front.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
In about the past 5 years, when Nine of Spades has shown up for me, in weekly, especially in the weekly and daily readings that I do, it's shown up usually as a health problem.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, that's one of the things about your card is you have health karma.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's
in
possible.
Spades, as they say, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really, it's really a strange thing because I'm, you know, I have a very strong body. It's a good thing, huh?
Yeah. God gave you the strength to deal with.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're doing really well with your birthday. It's not a particularly easy card to be.
I'm sorry, what was that? You just said?
Not a very easy card to be.
Six of Spades?
Yeah, tough card
to be. Oh, God. you want to hear me tell you about being a Six of Spades? I could tell you stories, man. Yep.
That's okay. We don't have time for a lot of stories, but I know that's true. And I can appreciate some of the things you must go through in your life. But when I hear you talking, I hear you being very conscious, and I hear you being responsible for yourself, and those are very good things to hear. Any other questions, Becky?
I think that's pretty much it, because from what I could see from the rest of the year, just getting through that whole Mars thing is, I think it's the big, maybe the only really difficult possibility for the year, so.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would agree. And it may not be that bad either. Like you said, Mars treats you pretty good, so it might actually turn into a positive for you.
Yeah.
We still don't know. We're still leaving that as an option, as a possibility for you.
Yeah. The other side of Nine of Spades that I've experienced, especially lately, is things falling away.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically, if I'm prepared for that to happen ahead of time, if I see that that's a possibility, and I've really had a lot of practice in not fighting. I've had a lot of practice. Doesn't mean that I don't ever fight it, but, you know, I've had a lot of practice in not fighting when things are ready to leave my life, things and people. So,
yeah.
So that's the other.
Well, Nine of Spades is your first karma card, too. So, see, this will be probably something about letting go that happens to you in the Mars period. And it could be, it's possible it could be connected to a man because it's the Mars period.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So, like a relationship or something like that.
Okay. I mean, I don't have any close relationships or clients or anything like that.
Okay.
For men, so I don't know how that would show up. Okay, I have one more question about that. Since Ace of Clubs is my planetary ruling card, and it's the card that's right underneath the Nine of Spades. It's the vertical card. How would you read that?
Well, whatever happens in this period is going to be, I think it could easily be like a new project that you begin.
Uh-huh.
That is something to give to the world in some way. You know?
Uh-huh.
That would be like the high side of this whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And you decide to get involved in a project of some kind that's like meant to sort of give to the world.
Uh-huh. Well, I do happen to be planning on a project just like that, but...
Okay.
That's good.
So maybe that's when you're going to really get that thing going.
Right. And how does that connect with the Nine of Spades?
That's your karma card.
My karma card. Okay, so tell me more. I always think of Nine of Spades as, you know, really, especially since it's the first karma card, as being, you know, everything.
I think a Nine of Spades as the first karma card might mean that you really came here to learn how to give.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's an interpretation I've never heard before. Okay, that's cool.
Because it's a giving card, you know. And see, the first karma card, this is your first karma card, is always representative of something that was underdeveloped or weak in a former lifetime.
Right.
So, or expressed in a negative way. So, like, you would say mostly that Six of Spades people have trouble letting go, would be like a common thing you would say about Six of Spades, because of the first karma card of the Nine of Spades.
Right.
And that could also be translated as trouble in giving as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Ace of Clubs is a very selfish card.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All the aces are very stuck on themselves, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm an Ace of Diamonds ruler, and it's, you know, I'm the most selfish person I ever met.
Well, we all have that side to us in one way or another, and yeah, sure.
But aces have more of it.
I know. I own it.
Aces have more selfishness, and the Ace of Diamonds is terrible because we can't even see it.
Oh yeah.
We think we're helping everybody, you know. We think we're like doing everybody a favor, and when we're actually just doing ourselves a favor most of the time. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
But you have the Ace of, I don't know, it looks like something new starting and something beginning. Something beginning and something ending at the same time is what it looks like to me.
Uh-huh.
And really, there's not enough information here. I wouldn't even try to figure it out. If I had these cards, I wouldn't be trying to figure it out.
Uh-huh.
I would just be relaxing and just letting it come, and then when it comes, I would deal with it.
Well, that's you, Robert.
Yeah, that's how I approach it. I have a 9 of spades long range this year. I mean, that's a very intense thing to have.
But that's a more neutral sort of...
Oh, no, not really. Not when it's long range.
Really? Have you ever
it's
had it
all
before?
Year long. It's huge.
All year long.
It's much
wow.
bigger. It's way bigger than having it in one period.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last...
It's way bigger than having it in one period.
Yeah, I realize that. That's true. Yeah.
It's like a much bigger ending or culmination or letting go than just having an event in one period of the year.
Right. So you must have already had some experiences with it.
I'm going through it as we speak.
Oh, wow.
So, Becky, I'm going to have to let you go now because I have other people calling and we've been talking for quite a long time.
Am I being selfish?
I don't know. Are you?
No. I wasn't trying to be. But
usually when we're being selfish, we're not really conscious of it. But I don't think you were being selfish. You just were talking a little more than I usually talk to people.
Oh, well, I really appreciate the time that you took very much. Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome. Whoa, that was a bad connection there on that phone. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We do have another Becky on line 2, and we have Marilyn waiting on line 3, and we have lines open. We're going to take a short break right now. We're going to listen to the song Krishna Lullaby, and when we come back, we're going to pick up taking your calls. Be right back.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita, Rama Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita, Rama
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, and this is the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. We have people waiting. This part of the show is when we answer your questions. So we have people waiting online. And first, we have Becky from Louisiana waiting patiently. Are you there, Becky?
Yes, sir. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well.
And are you born February 21st, 1951?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. What can I do for you?
Well, it's a full moon on my birthday.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And that kind of had me puzzled how I can honor that day in a very special way.
Well, you know, the full moon follows a new moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 weeks later, you know, approximately. And the full moon means the culmination of things that started on the new moon. The things that began on the new moon culminating at the full moon.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So you have to track it back, look at your calendar. Okay, and 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
before your birthday, what did you initiate then?
Well, my life has been changing in the last 5 weeks to 6 weeks. Everything has turned around for me.
Well,
I started looking within myself and changing spiritually and doing cleansing.
Uh-huh.
And taking care of myself and where I hadn't been before. I think I spoke to you about 2 months ago. My husband had died.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been doing a lot of inward searching, and, I mean, everything's turning around. I'm happier. I've got a coach that's helping me.
That's
wonderful. And I'm doing really great.
Well, what I would suggest, looking at your cards for this year, is that you throw yourself a birthday party this year.
Okay.
And here's what I do. You invite everybody you know and tell them to bring a present.
Okay.
Yeah. And you have a real fun time, you know. Think of some fun things to do. And now we'll start your year off with the right foot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something happened a few weeks ago, and I went, my grandson had given me some cards, and I know I'm a four diamonds.
Yeah.
And I see on here that the two of spades is specifically a spade man. It says especially the two of spades, it would make a good marriage. And I came
yeah.
in my kitchen, and I picked up the cards. And when I picked up the cards, the two of spades was on the bottom and fell right in front of me.
Huh. Interesting.
Yes, sir.
Well, maybe you're going
to
need
a two of
spades
guy. And I was just wondering
guy.
If you see me meeting anyone. I have them on my vision board.
Well, you do have a two of spades coming in Venus this year. In
I do.
April 14th to June 5th. In that period, you're showing a two of spades card.
Wow.
And the Venus period is, of course, the love period of the year. So there's certainly a possibility here.
Yes, sir.
Nothing's definite, but there's some good signs.
Great. And okay. I also have some financial endeavors that are coming up with some lawsuits.
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is a powerful year for you. I would focus on your work stuff. I don't think the legal stuff is going to bring you as much success as it will through just your own efforts.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you might do in terms of projects and so forth.
Yes, sir. Well, I was a school teacher, and I've been off since April.
Yeah.
And
well, don't you have a desire to do something besides teach school?
Yes, sir. My goal and my vision is to open a universal spiritual center in my town.
Okay, great.
That's my vision.
So why don't you work on that this year?
Yes, sir.
That would be what I would do.
Okay.
You have very good influences, and these can bring you a lot of success. So why not utilize them and take advantage of them while they're present.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would do, given what I see here. I would take advantage of these influences. So, you know, we all will have years when we have difficult cards and influences, and years when we'll have really good ones. And it's up to us to know when to act and when to hold back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a year when you can act.
Okay. Well, last year was the worst year of my life.
Uh-huh.
So I made a decision that this year is going to be the best year of my life.
Well, good. That's a good choice to make.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, you know, things look pretty good. I think your greatest success this year will come with people.
With people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I see.
Okay.
So that's why I suggest you get a birthday party going.
Okay.
Do you understand? See, you're not just a four diamonds, you're also an eight of diamonds.
An eight of diamonds?
You're an eight of diamonds, too. You don't know about the ruling card because you don't have my books.
Yes, sir, I have it in front of me, but I'm not real, you know, I mean, I understand the four diamonds part, but I'm not the eight of diamonds.
Well, the ruling card is really more important than the birth card.
Oh.
We identify with it more. And the eight of diamonds, what that tells me about you is that you really do need a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get it either in good ways or in bad ways.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it by doing great things, or you can get it by getting sick and like that. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion is get out there in front of people and shine like the sun, because that's what the Eight of Diamonds is, the sun card.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's the sun card.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Paris Hilton's an Eight of Diamonds. Look at her.
Oh, my goodness.
She's having the time of her life. Her birthday was yesterday, and she was in a big champagne glass, swimming in a big champagne glass in a nightclub in Las Vegas. Now, that's how you have a party. That girl knows how to throw a party. So you got to think like Paris Hilton here and get something going, all right?
All right. Well, Bert, I appreciate your time.
Nice talking to you, Becky. Thanks
nice
for
talking
calling.
To you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have somebody from Georgia. Now, that was Louisiana. Now we've got Georgia calling in. Marilyn, are you there, Marilyn?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
You're a queen of diamonds like me.
Yes.
How's that working for you?
Well, you know, it can be very, very good and very, very challenging. And,
I'll tell you something about Queen of Diamonds is we always get our wish.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, even when you have a lot of wishes,
yeah, well, yes. The thing about it is, though, is we're so busy handling the ones we already got.
Well, that makes sense. It's interesting, you know, I've kind of, my cards have fallen right along into what's going on in my life.
They've fallen where?
To this point. Well, like right now, I'm in the Ace of Hearts period. And
now, you were born
January 15th.
1957, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you just had a birthday.
Uh-huh.
You're in Mercury, first period of the year, and you have an Ace of Hearts. So what happened?
Well, I just ended a long 8-year relationship with an Eight of Diamonds man who's, you know, the door is still open. I'm sure you know how that goes. And there are a few other.
What does that mean
my
exactly
past.
Now?
Well, you know, that means that I have a home with this person if I want one.
Oh, you mean the door is still open from his side?
Yes. Yes.
Ah. Yes. He says, yeah, come on back if you want to be the same like you used to be.
Pardon me?
Come on back if you want to be the same like you used to be.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, that's not likely to happen.
Well, see, this is what's really funny about relationships, and I heard this somewhere, and then I see it more and more and more. Men get married thinking and hoping that their woman will stay the same forever.
Mm.
And women get married hoping the guy is going to change.
That's interesting. I think I've heard the change part.
Yeah.
I have heard the change part.
And it's like sense. It's like we're both hoping for exactly the opposite thing.
Mm-hmm. Which is why so often it doesn't work, right?
Yeah, the woman says, "Have you never changed?" And the guy says, "Come on back and be like it used to be."
Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that it was something I think had to happen because of so many other things that are going on. I have actually, I'm thinking of returning to school. I've actually applied to a program. I've had an interview, and I might get accepted, which is where my dilemma is right now. I'm at the stage where I am doing really well at my job. In fact, I just recently got a surprise raise, which was kind of terrible because it makes it almost hard to want to leave to return to school to make no money for 2 years and 3 months. And at the same time,
diamonds need their money, you know. They got to have money.
I know. that's the other part of it. It's like, okay, how do I survive while I'm in school? I mean, and that, do I focus on a business, which I'm thinking about, or do I write, which I'm also thinking about and trying to, you know, get my outlines together and see if I can make something that will enable me to make money while I'm in school.
What's the purpose of being in school again? I forget. What did you
tell me? it's a program as a physician's assistant, which would enable me to travel and work in healthcare, which I do, which I love.
So you want to be a traveling healthcare person, is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, well, I'd like to be able to explore more about natural and alternative medicine, but at the same time have something, a degree that's in Western medicine that would give me some sort of, you know, like, okay, she knows what she's talking about because she's looked at this side, but at the same time, you know, maybe there's something to
mm-hmm.
the non-Western medicine.
Well, I think you've got a pretty good plan in place.
Yeah.
It's okay if you work a little bit. I mean, are you like strapped for money or something or what?
Yeah, I heard that.
Are you strapped for money? Oh, I think I lost her. If you're still listening, Marilyn, I have your cards here. I just want to say a few things. You have a good plan. Why don't you just follow your plan? But what you don't know about this year is there's going to be a lot of romantic activity that's going to come into play, especially in your Venus period, which starts on March the 8th. You're going to notice that a lot of people want to spend time with you, and romantically and otherwise. So what you don't know about this year yet is what hasn't really showed up yet, but it will soon, that now that you're available, there's going to be relationships beating down your door. The other thing I'll tell you is that next year of your life, when you're 52, is like the most important year, basically, of life. And you are slated to have a really beautiful result in your life. So my suggestion to you, based on all this that I see here, is really go for it. Like, go for everything that you really want. And don't shortchange yourself because of worrying about money or something like that. The money will be there. Just go for your dream. That's my suggestion. Okay. We do have Laurie waiting on line 4, but we're going to take a short break, and we have two lines open. If you want to call in and be a guest on the show tonight, feel free to call in on one of the numbers. I think line 4 is taken, but the other lines are open. We're going to take a short break, and on this break, we're going to play my favorite song on the CD, which is Sri Ram. We'll be right back.
Talking about Ram. Talking
Ram, he Sita Ram, he Hanuman, Lakshmana Ram, he Raja Ram.
And we have a woman from Orlando, Florida, named Laurie, who has a question about her father. Are you there on the line, Laurie?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you, Laurie?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. So you're calling in behalf of your father or about your father?
Yeah, I actually spoke with him tonight, and I didn't even know when your show was on or anything, but he told me you were on tonight and to give you a call and see what you could see for him. He had talked to me back in October. And it was in regards to a foreclosure on him and my mother's house.
Uh-huh.
And they actually were evicted on Thursday, this past Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And so I was basically just to see if you have any idea what might be in store for him.
Okay, well, it's funny because he has the card for like a big change there, and it has an ace of spades right now in the Venus period. So I have a question for you, Laurie. Why isn't your father calling me?
He actually, they're exhausted from moving, so he went to bed.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, if you can get through, try to ask him about me. So.
Okay, so tell your father that, you know, this year the theme for him is having a business of his own and making a lot of money. Okay?
Okay.
Now, what kind of job does he have right now?
Right now he's currently out of work.
He's out of work. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that, you know, he'll have to think about. But my suggestion is that he start his own business.
Okay.
Okay. That's where the money is for him this year.
Okay.
Of course, he has to be able to do that. You know, he has to access that. He has to put that into motion somehow for himself.
Uh-huh.
And I know he's probably a little bummed out because he just got evicted.
Yeah.
Anybody would be. But at the same time, you know, he knew it was coming. He had plenty of notice about this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't just call you up one day and evict you the very next day. They give you, like, notice. You see it coming for a long time.
Yeah.
So tell your father what I said to him, that if he's willing to invest himself, this could be a really good year for him now that he's gotten past this period.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
What about you, Laurie?
What about me? That's what I was about to ask. I've been having a rough time the past couple weeks, but I was wondering if you see an end in sight here.
Are you still living at home?
No. My parents are in Berea, Ohio, just south of Cleveland, and I moved to Orlando in 2004.
Okay, so you're living in Orlando. You're living alone or with a boyfriend? Or
I have a roommate right now, but as of May, we're going to go our separate ways, and I'm going to get a place for myself.
Okay. As of May, let's see here. Okay, and you're born March 27th, 1983?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's have a look here. You're in the last period of the year, which is called the Neptune period, and it's not a good time to make the important decisions, but it's a time to just kind of like dream about the future and you know, just don't put anything into motion until after your birthday.
Okay.
Okay. I see that this next year you're going to get very focused about what you want, and it's going to be good. You're going to be like really focused and working to get what you want in your life.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's a good thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, whatever you've gone through lately, whatever indecision you might have had about what you're doing in your life or whatever has been slowing you down, that's all going to pass away. Because you have this card called the Eight of Spades next year, and that's a card of really intense focus.
Okay.
And power to accomplish. So what's been going rotten for you lately? What's been the area? Is it relationship or what?
Well, I found out just recently that my roommate was going to move, and I had just gotten into school this semester. So it's kind of putting pressure on me financially and everything because I'm trying to focus on school. Last week my car broke, and I got a subpoena. I have to go to court at the beginning of March as a testimony or a witness for a vehicular homicide case. Something crazy that happened a year ago that I saw. I have to go deal with that again. And then this week, I've been sick since last Monday, and then my parents had to move out on Thursday, so I've been worried about them, and I'm so far away.
Uh-huh.
And then I got in a car accident Thursday night.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, I've had a kind of rough time the past couple weeks.
What are you worrying so much about?
My mom seems to think, well, they've been fighting. So they haven't had an attorney, but they've been fighting the court case for well over a year and a half and pretty much keeping everything at bay. And
who's been fighting what court case?
The foreclosure.
Oh, the foreclosure thing.
Yeah, so even the mayor in Cleveland has filed a lawsuit against the company that owns my parents' mortgage because they had bought it in default and all kinds of things are going wrong. And just in their county, like that bank has foreclosed on 5,000 houses or something.
Yeah.
So they've been dealing with a lot of that, and they kind of kept hoping and praying like that they could stop it, but they weren't able to stop it. But my mom was
being
fight.
Weren't they default on their payments?
Yeah, but what happened is they were default with their original bank, and then they sold it. They sold their mortgage once it was in default, which I guess you're not allowed to do. And once they found out who their bank was, which was the bank that they have now, they wouldn't negotiate. So,
but I'm just saying they were in default, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're in default for a loan, they can foreclose on you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to trivialize it, but it's a fact, right? Like,
yeah,
well,
I know.
Really,
but it's hard talking to my mom all the time, and she was trying to look on
well,
the
your father
better part of it. But as you're moving out of your house, I mean, there's no really up from there, you know?
Well, I know, but see, they could have taken a much different tack with the whole thing, see?
Yeah, I agree completely.
They could
I kind of hold myself responsible for not being there. And
you?
I feel guilty.
It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with you. Why do you think it has anything to do with you? This is their life, not yours. Do you think it's your job to take care of your parents?
They've always done it for me.
I know, that's their job. Is it your job to take care of them? See?
Hard.
Yeah, well, you need to like let go of this responsibility you feel about your parents' situation. This is something that they completely created all on their own. The choices they made was inevitable. Do you understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, okay, so you got to let yourself off the hook. And stop worrying about them and just start focusing on what you want for your life. If you want to help your parents or anybody else in your family, show them how happy a person can be.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm trying to.
Show them how successful somebody can be in the family. You know, don't get dragged down by all that. And stop trying to help your parents. They're the big people. You're the little person. it never feels right to help the parents. It never.
Yes, I'm an only child, so it just I don't have anybody else to even, you know, talk to about it.
It never feels right for the children to try to help the parents. It never, ever feels right. It always feels like there's something wrong about it. You'll see. It never feels like the right thing when you do it. It's an interesting dynamic, but that's how it plays out.
Yep.
Anyway, you have a great year to look forward to.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm back in school and everything. I moved to Florida, and I basically, from the ground up, like, got myself, you know, house and everything going so that way I could be stable enough to get back into school, and I started in January, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure you have lots of things that you would love to see happen in your life. Love, family, maybe, those kind of things, right? You deserve to have all those things. So you got to, like, prepare for that, like, be ready for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm glad you called, Lori.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, well, now we have Mr. Greg from Washington on line two. Are you there, Greg?
I am.
And you're born January 7th, 1951, is that correct?
That is.
Have I spoken to you before?
No, my wife calls regularly, and my daughter-in-law.
Okay.
And my son called you, I think, last week or the week before.
Oh, okay.
Actually, first, yeah, but not me.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, nice to hear from you.
Yeah, it's nice to be here.
So what would you like to ask me this evening?
Well, there's a lot of changes and possibilities. I'm applying for a job, and I've been at a job for 10 years. I'm a songwriter and a musician, but I've done that all my adult life. But I've been in the, you know, computer kind of networking industry for 10 years, as well as doing recording and you know, performing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're raising our grandson. And I've kind of changed focus, and I did stop playing. And so then a friend of mine just called me to apply for a job that has decent pay. It's in the same, network computer stuff. It sounds challenging and involves some travel. And I guess Andy said if I ask you how to stop worrying, it would make you laugh because I'm a seven of spades. But I'm an artist and a writer, so I'm very imaginative, so I can think of 10,000 reasons not to do anything. So I'm really good at doing nothing. So we'd like to go somewhere sunny, like the sunny, and we'd like to be close to Josh, Christina, and our granddaughter Soraya, and
uh-huh.
They're in Ojai.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Ojai's a nice place to be.
But I can't, you know. Every time I think of doing something or, you know, quitting this job, I'm 57. I'm going, we'll starve, you know. From the time I put in my resume and got this, I got a call the next day and an interview the day after that, tomorrow. And I've been just, instead of being excited, I've been just sick, stressed. You know, what if I get it? Just totally opposite of what a person should be going through, probably. But,
well,
so my
know.
Question is, what's happening? You know,
well, the cards show that you need to have a change, okay?
Yeah.
Like it's overdue.
Yeah.
So, you know, no matter what your mind makes up about everything that's going on, if you stay really clear about, you know what, something has got to change here for me.
Right.
That helps clarify everything, see? So then you can kind of like judge everything that's coming your way on the basis of, is this going to constitute a positive change for me or not?
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So that is the only question you have to ask yourself in terms of when looking at the different possibilities that are presenting themselves. Does this constitute a healthy change for me that I need right now? Get it?
Okay. Yeah, that makes
yeah.
sense.
And if you just use that as a litmus test, the test, you know, to you'll be fine. Whatever you end up picking will be good. But you do need to have a change in your life. You've been doing this stuff too long.
Okay. Right.
That's what the cards say, anyway.
Well, no, I know it, and it's just I feel frozen, you know.
Well, look at what's freezing you. What's freezing you is the fear of the unknown.
Right.
Okay. Now, when you were 20 years old, your whole life was unknown. And it was exciting because you didn't know. You know what I mean? It was like, wow, anything can happen. This is awesome. Now it's like the fear of the unknown. Oh, my God, what might happen?
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, you need to get back to the useful part. And I see creativity here. I see possibly you working two jobs at the same time this year. But I see really you need to pay attention that you need a change in your life. Because at your age, and, you know, which is almost basically the same age as me, we can't afford to live an unhappy life anymore. It takes a toll on our health, you know?
Well, yeah, and going into another job that's not what I love, making more money isn't making me excited, you know?
I blame it on my tendency
to worry, but...
You just answered your own question.
Yeah.
This is not something that you love to do.
Right.
Why don't you take a little risk here? Your whole card, you know, the nature of the Seven of Spades is to take a risk on what is right. It's the card of faith, without having any evidence to support that you're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of your card.
Well,
time to live it now.
Does it show a move, or does it? Need to move. Yeah. Every kind of change.
Yeah, you need to get out of there. You need to go somewhere. You need to let go of everything that's not really working. They have a ceremony that they do in the American Indian tradition, one of the Native American traditions. It's called you go through your own death. And in this little ritual that you do, and I've never done it, but I've had friends that have done it, apparently a big part of it is like you kind of go through, metaphorically, letting go of every single thing in your life. You let go of your relationship, your marriage, you let go of your job. You lay it all down at your feet. You follow so far?
I'm with you.
You just lay it all down, right? Because you're dead. You can't take it. You can't do it anymore. You've died, you know, metaphorically speaking. And you're sitting there dead, and you let it all go. That's the first step, okay? Then after that step, then... You kind of hang out in that being dead for a while, and then you look around and you say, what here do I want to pick back up again? Anything or not? See?
Mm-hmm.
You have to ask yourself then, you know, do I want to, what, if anything, that of my old life that I've died to and let go of, what, if any of that, do I want to pick back up and get involved in and do again? The first step is letting go of it all and die. So you might want to consider something like that. You know, maybe not. Maybe you won't do the exact ritual or whatever, but some, you know, just let go for a while and just look around you and ask yourself, what is it that really has any meaning to you now in your life? What would make you happy to get up and do every day? Okie doke.
Okie doke.
Right. Hope that's helpful to you, Greg.
It is. Thank you.
Great talking to you. Thanks for being a guest on the show tonight.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Good luck. Bye-bye. All right. We do have time for our last caller, who is calling from Scottsdale. His name is Mark. Are you there, Mark?
Yes, I am.
And Mark, is your birthday September 30th, 1962?
That's correct.
Great. What can I do for you this evening?
Well, a couple of things. I'm interested in what direction my career is taking. I've since stepped away from a 20-year-long career and kind of debating whether I want to continue along that path or if I should be exploring different avenues for my livelihood now.
What was the career you let go of? And when did you let go of it?
Let go of it just a tad before Christmas when my father passed away. I'd kind of taken some time off and stepped away from a job. I'd basically take your house and put it on a computer, smart home, that type of business.
Uh-huh. You would help people sell their homes, or?
No. Just take every aspect of your home and put it onto a computer so that you could run it off your laptop, whether you live in Italy or south of France or wherever, and watch your home in the U.S.
You mean remote control things in your house? Is that what you're talking about?
Pretty much. You shut television off with the kids if you wanted to.
Oh, okay, cool. Sounds like a cool product.
Yes.
Did you enjoy that work?
Well, very much so. Very much so. Very rewarding and challenging, but also very, very cutthroat industry, and I'm kind of tired of that. So I've been taking a little bit of a hiatus for the last month or so here, and I'm trying to debate whether I should continue forward in this career or look for another avenue.
Well, you know, you have the card this year of dissatisfaction, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, what you've had in the past no longer makes you happy anymore. That's what that meaning of that card is, you know. It kind of comes here, it comes along every so often. And the real purpose of that card is to get us to go beyond what we were before, like go beyond ourselves in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're feeling itchy, that's what you're feeling. You're feeling this desire to have something different. This is a blessed year for you. Age 45 is always a blessed year. Wishes will come true during this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Well, I've already gotten one wish true. I've started a new relationship, which is actually been very wonderful. 3.5 years ago, I lost my wife, and pretty much just been involved in my career, and then this particular lady has come along, and it's been an absolute blessing for me since she's been in my life.
Is there a possibility that she might get pregnant?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No.
Because you have fatherhood cards showing up later.
Hmm.
So I just want to check that out, possibility out. Well, that's great. I mean, so that's one blessing. I feel like you're doing the right thing by letting go, from what I see here. And something new is going to sprout up after you let go. And it won't be that long, I don't think. I don't think you'll have to wait too long to find out what that is.
Okay.
But it's like the last caller. I was talking to him about this metaphoric death that the Native Americans would go through as a ritual for self-enrichment. And, you know, you're doing that. You're letting go. You're leaving space for something to show up in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you liked what you did on a lot of different levels, there were parts of it you really didn't like. So
yes.
Maybe it's time for something new to show up for you.
Well, I'm certainly anxiously awaiting for that.
Well, you know, I think you'd probably be successful at almost anything you would actually do.
And that's actually very true.
I think once you get involved in something, you'd probably usually do really well. So it's not going to be a matter of, you know, you having to survive or something like that for you. So why not take this opportunity to really look a little deeper and get in touch with the thing that really will float your boat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I recommend for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
I think something, though, will crop up for you fairly soon. If not, maybe as early as April.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no rush, so.
That's right. Can't rush these things.
Yeah, you know, we're just like, sometimes things need time to unveil themselves, you know. Certain people have to show up, or certain situations have to work themselves out. we never know, but if we're following our heart and we know why we're doing what we're doing and we're clear that, you know, we don't want to just work a job that we don't like and don't feel right about, if we're really clear about that, good things always show up. They always show up.
You seem like my a real conscious
guy. I'm sorry, the relationship? What is your girlfriend's birthday?
July 27th, 1947.
July 27th. Okay. Let's see. Let me just confirm. I think she's an ace of clubs, I think. But she might be a two of clubs. Let me just double check. Yeah, ace of clubs. Leo. Leos are great people. I would say that you guys are really well connected. I don't see any problem in the relationship. She probably thinks you're a little bit unpredictable at times. That's about all I can see.
Actually, my mistake, it's actually June 27th, 47. My mistake.
Oh, June 27th. That's a whole different animal.
Now what are you going to tell me?
You're talking about three of clubs.
Well, we're still very well connected, so you're right on with that.
Well, the three of clubs part, let's see. She's a three of clubs, and she's a Cancer, so she's a five of hearts. So you have a past life love connection with her.
Yeah, I do believe that.
Yeah, just don't believe all the stuff she comes up with in her head, okay? Because it'll drive you crazy. If you take all that stuff that they make up seriously, you'll go nuts.
Okay.
And don't try to talk her out of her unhappiness either when it comes up, you know.
All right.
Just to, like, when she starts getting really, like, weirded out, just take her for a walk.
Okay. I like that idea.
Because she will go off. She'll just go completely off every so often. Read in my book all about three of clubs. I call it the three of clubs panic attack.
Okay.
Happens like once a week. But if you believe in it's worse. Don't believe it.
All right.
Just keep loving her and doing the good things that you do, and everything will be fine.
Okay. Great.
All right. Great talking to you, Mark. Thanks for being a guest on the show tonight.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
All right. Take care. Bye bye. Well, thank you, everybody, for being with us tonight on the show. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to end our show, as usual, with Gayatri, the Gayatri Mantra, one of the most powerful mantras that's ever been, period. Hope you enjoy it. We'll be back next Monday, same time. Maybe I'll have a new song by then. I'm working on another new song. If so, I'll bring it on. Good night. I'll see you next week.
Tatsavitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi Deyo-yonat-prachodayam Om Bhurva Svaha Tatsavitur-varinyam Bhargo-devasya dhimahi Deyo yonna prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo yonna prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo Yonna Prachodayam Om
Savitur-variyam Bhargo-devasya vimahi Deyo-yonat-prachodaya Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur-variyam Bhargo-devasya vimahi
We love BBS Radio. 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 We love BBS Radio.